thank you all for being here today. We are excited to welcome Mike Vrabel, his wife Jen, and their two sons, Tyler and Carter, to St. Thomas Sports Park and to Nashville. Mike has come to us with the experience and vision we need to continue what we have started over the past two seasons. I am impressed with his goals, with his plans for his staff, and I believe he will do everything he can to bring this town a championship. We want nothing less for our fans. John and Mike have known one another for years, and I have asked John to introduce Mike to all of you today. Thank you again for being with us.
Good afternoon. 1 week ago, I stood here and spoke about moving forward, building on the foundation over the last two seasons. Today, we take that next step. I've watched Mike Vrabel firsthand as a player. He's one of the toughest players, one of the smartest players on those New England teams. He was a demanding teammate. He was a selfless teammate. And above all, for him, it was always about doing what is best for the team and winning. He quickly transitioned into the coaching ranks and rose through those ranks. Mike has a great presence, excellent leadership skills, excellent knowledge of the game, and I am extremely proud to be partnered with him as everyone in this organization works together as a team toward our ultimate goal of bringing a championship to this great city, this great state, and our outstanding fan base. Welcome to the Titan family, Jen, sons Tyler and Carter, and the fifth head coach in Tennessee Titans history, Mike Vrabel.
Sounds pretty good. You can clap. You can clap for your dad.
Thanks, John. First, I would just like to thank Amy, Kenneth, and the rest of your family, John, for the opportunity to sit in front of you last Thursday and share my vision with you guys about leading this team to the next level. I want to thank you. I want to thank Mr. McNair and his wife Janice and the Houston Texans for their support that they showed us and my family. They're great people. They're great owners. Lucky to have worked for them. After Amy called me Saturday, I called Mr. McNair. He was proud of me, and he was happy, and he said, I'm going to root for you except for two times a year. So I told him I'd do the same thing. I'd like to thank Bill O'Brien for giving me the opportunity to come to the National Football League. I'd like to thank my wife, Jen, my boys, Tyler and Carter. It's not easy, supporting boys that love football and dads that coach football and play football. They've been around the NFL locker room since they've been born. I'm not proud to say this, but I'm just going to tell you about my wife. She gave birth to Carter. I missed it. I was at practice. She was in Ohio. He came early. He flipped. They had to take her, and I showed up 4 hours late, because I was playing football, and she was having a baby. So I love her to death. She's been through a lot, and she understands this league. She challenged me to get into the NFL after spending some time at Ohio State. I'd like to thank my parents. They raised an only child who had everything he wanted. My dad instilled toughness and a teamwork and a value of teamwork and being self-motivated. So I thank him, and I think he's proud. So with that, I'll take any questions. I'd love to talk about our team, talk about our vision, where we're going, and go from there.
Mike, what is your vision as head coach of this football team?
Well, John and I share a lot of alignment and loyalty in finding the right types of players. We talk about the right 53, not the best 53. So when you talk about a vision, we want a big, fast, strong, smart football team You know, that's discipline. I think when you talk about discipline, not jumping off sides late in the game, when you're disciplined, you're able to take advantage of the other team's mistakes. And we won't make critical mistakes. We're going to do everything we can not to make critical mistakes. So, you know, we're going to try to be as a disciplined football team as we possibly can.
How's your vision, sir, Marcus Mariota? How important is your relationship with the GM?
Well, when I sat down and the first question they asked me, I don't even remember what it was, but I know that I answered it, that John and I's relationship is going to set the standard and the tone for the entire organization. And that relationship will be built on, you know, obviously alignment and loyalty and trust and mutual respect. We're going to disagree on players. We're going to disagree on things. And at the end of the day, somebody's got to make a decision and move on. But I said that that will be the most critical relationship in the building. When we walk out of his office or we walk out of my office and we walk down the hallway, people are going to look and they're going to notice what's going on with Mike and John. Like, are they together? Are they, you know, and we are going to lead my staff, his staff, and the entire building with that in mind.
What's your vision from Marcus Mariota?
Yeah. I made able to talk to Marcus last night. Again, just trying to sit down with dinner last night with my family. Jen drove over from Houston. And Marcus called and returned my call. And I was like, sorry, guys, you're going to take another back seat to the quarterback. So I'm going to take this one. And so the vision is that we're going to do things that are going to help them. We're going to put guys around them that are going to help them. We're going to get them to play with confidence. We're going to get them to play energetic and bring the passion of football out that he's so capable of showing. That's my idea for him. And I there's not going to be a greater relationship that I need to foster and develop than the one with our starting quarterback.
Would he have any say or would you like him to meet with your coordinator candidates before you make a decision?
You know, I've got a lot of respect for guys in this league, but, you know, we're not going to go down that path. That's not something that we're going to do. That's not something that I believe in. Certainly would like to get their feedback and understanding. And, you know, this is a trust process. There's coaches in this league and there's players. And I think that Amy's going to trust me to hire the right guy for Marcus. John's going to trust me to hire the right guy for Marcus, or I wouldn't have been hired.
What did you think about the Titans utilize Marcus's skill set the past few years?
You know, with all due respect, anything that happened and any games that they won or lost, we're moving forward. We're going forward. You know, I know Mike Mularkey. Mike Mularkey was a tight end coach at Pittsburgh when I got drafted there. And I've known Mike for a lot of years. A lot of great coaches, a lot of great players. But our focus is going to be going forward.
What's your past experience with Coach Belichick, Coach Cowher, O'Brien, Urban Meyer, show up in what you do?
You know, I think, I don't know, I've been lucky, and I shared that in the interview process, whether it be by fate or luck or chance, to be around some of the greatest coaches that will have ever coached. Was able to be drafted by Pittsburgh and learn the toughness and what it meant to the importance of special teams and, you know, just that Western PA attitude from Bill Cowher, and taking a free agent trip to New England and changed my life. You know, my free agent bonus in New England was less than my rookie free agent, you know, my rookie signing bonus. So that tells you anything. It wasn't very much, but I learned so much from Bill, but I'm not Bill and I'm not Bill Cowher. And I got to coach under Urban Meyer and learn so much, the importance of teaching. And we have a young league, and we're going to have a young team, and to teach these guys the right way and developing and making them better. And I'm not Urban, but I'm going to take a lot from them. And I've been able to be in Houston with Bill O'Brien. So I'm lucky to go through basically, you know, a doctorate degree of coaching with the people that I've been around.
How much say-so will you have on
the head coach.
I'm talking about as far as calling defensive plays.
Yeah, head coach. I can call whatever play I want, right? I mean, that's the idea that, you know, we're going to have a coordinator. We're going to have an offense coordinator. We're going to have a special teams coordinator. If I say I want to block a punt, we're going to block a punt. And if I want to, you know, throw a shot. That's what goes with sitting in that seat. And then you got to answer to those questions. You want to blitz and they score a touchdown, you know, like we did in the Super Bowl and lost the game. You know, we're in New England and we blitzed and they completed it and lost the game. Somebody's got to stand up and, you know, it's what you do. You got to take, you know, You have to, here's what you do. Here's my job is going to be to accept responsibility, right? Give credit and be decisive. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what I told Amy and John I'm going to do.
So, Mike, with your doctorate in coaching, you feel ready to turn your first time
absolutely.
As head coach
on the team? And I don't think anybody's ever ready. And I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not going to make too many of them. And I'm not going to make the same mistake twice.
Coach, if at all, how far along are you in putting together your staff? And what is your timetable?
Yeah, I don't want to put a timetable on it because I want the right guys. And John and I are working through it. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that I want to coach and I want to have a part of the Titans moving forward. But, you know, nothing really to put report on that end, but that we're in the process of bringing the best guys in here. Just like we do with players, we're not going to rush into decisions. We're going to sleep on things, and we're going to get the right guys in here for our team.
What do you do?
Go ahead. You've been dying back there. You've been every time you get blocked out.
How much did you study, Marcus, before you accepted this job? Do you have to feel like I have a franchise quarterback to take the job?
No, because there's different, you know, there's going to be ways. I mean, he may or may not play every single game. I mean, there's ways to win games in this league without a franchise quarterback. We've got one, and we're going to develop them. And, you know, so I don't think that that's a critical factor. I think what it is it's got to be the right fit. You know, you have to sit down with the owner. You know, told Amy, I said when I left, I wanted to give her a hug, but I didn't think it was appropriate. And she said, well, when you come back here, then you can give me a hug. But there was just a connection there. It's got to fit with the general manager and you know, the town, the city. It's got to be right for your family. So there's a lot of factors that go into, you know, taking a job.
What were your thoughts of Marcus when you schemed against him at Texas D.C.?
One more time, I'm sorry.
What were your thoughts of Marcus when you schemed against him?
We were scared to death. You know, he pulled a football on Jadeveon Clowney and ran 40 yards. And thank God he pulled his hamstring running 40 yards. That game wouldn't have been what it was that day in Houston. So he's a special talent. You know, he's a special kid. And I can't wait to work with him and help him through, you know, taking that next step in his career. But, you know, you get a quarterback that pulls it on JD, you know, you better have, you know, some cojones because JD normally swallows those guys up.
You spoke about talking to Marcus last night. Before April and the official start of the offseason, to what degree are you able to be in contact with guys?
Limited, like normal conversation. I think there's rules in place that, you know, we're not allowed to talk about foot. There are certain things that we can't talk about, and there are certain things that we can. And, you know, I've seen a few players in the building already, and that's going to be important to me, that these guys are able to figure out who I am. You know, it was pretty cool. Like Taylor Lewan said, hey, I've been following your son. He looked at Tyler. He's like, I've seen those huddle highlights. And, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, they play the same position, and I know that, you know, Tyler watches him and watches how he plays. And so I've always wanted my kids to be around – good locker rooms, whether that be in New England or when I was playing or here as a coach, because I want them to see what good players look like, but better husbands and better fathers and better teammates. So it's important to me that we get great guys in here and we go from there.
What does it take to set the tone in that locker room and get everybody behind you?
Well, I don't think I have to go ahead and, you know, do anything special. When I stand in front of these guys on April 2nd and they look at their head coach, I will have been every single one of those players in those seats. I'll have been the rookie that got drafted, that was having a tough time, that maybe wasn't developing as fast as the coaches would have liked. I will have been the core special teams player. I will have been a starting linebacker that was expected to make some plays because he was a high-priced player. I'll have been the aging veteran that needed to be a great leader, or I'll have been a team captain. So I'm going to have a great opportunity to share my story and what I've been through with each one of those players. And so I'm not going to do anything special. I'm just going to tell them who I am and say, you know, where are you at in your career? Here's where we need to make you better. Here's what I see. This is what you do well. This is what you don't do well. And we're gonna work together to fix whatever you don't do well.
You leave that arc as a player, but as a coach, you're still really young. Do you feel like you need, like, a grizzled veteran on your staff?
I don't want to put stereotypes on the guys that I have. I'm not going to put the staff together like saying that I have to have a guy that it's going to be. They're going to be great teachers. They're going to have passion and energy for football, for making players better. I believe that players are more important than plays, and it's always going to be about that. It's never going to be about the scheme. Well, another thing I told Amy, said my job is going to make sure that the players know what to do and that they play fast and aggressive. And if we go into games and we're not sure of things, then it's my job as a head coach to take them out and say they don't know it, they can't play fast and aggressive. Because when that situation fourth down yesterday and somebody's got to make a play, I'm pretty sure that Stephon Gilmore knew what to do, and he played fast and aggressive, and he was able to make the play to win the game and put his team in a Super Bowl.
Are you a 3-4 team out of the gate?
What we are is we are going to work, and I have a philosophy defensively, that we're going to have coverage consistency, and we're going to have front multiplicity. And so we have great players. We're going to introduce our coverage concepts to them. That's going to remain consistent throughout what we do. And then we're going to have guys up front that may be geared towards an under defense, over defense, three down, five down. We're going to have a lot of multiplicity in our front. So it's coverage consistency, front multiplicity.
How important is coaching experience in your opinion?
I think that the right experience is important. I don't think that just experience is good. I mean, I think the guys that have been coaching 2 or 3 years could be just as good as a coach that has been coaching 30 years. I'm not really sure. You know, I want the right guys who've been through some battles that are loyal. And so maybe those guys have been around 30 years. Some of those guys are young coaches that you have faith in, that you want to develop and have a part of your staff.
Do you frame the offense the way you frame the defense there with the coverage versus the front? What do you envision being kind of the base?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that we're going to run the football. We're going to run it from the quarterback being under center. We're going to run it from the quarterback being in gun. We're going to give Marcus some easy access throws, whether that be – you know, RPOs or run reliefs. I mean, we're not going to run it into 8 or 9 guys. And we're not going to be silly. We're going to throw some, I believe in screens. I believe in play action, things that he does well. I mean, we were scared to death, again, when we do the stats and we run the statistics. And he's averaging 17 or 18 yards of completion in play action. Those things scare you as a defensive coordinator. Those are big plays that change field position. So those are things that we believe in, but we're going to run the football, and we're going to do it from different ways, different backfield alignments.
What's the balance of using Marcus' athleticism but also keeping him protected?
Right. I mean, we never want to put him in harm's way. We don't want to sit there and run him for the sake of running him, but we want to make sure that people that know he's back there and can run. And we've got a lot of experience with watching Deshaun and what Billy was able to do with Deshaun this past year.
Mike, how far away do you think this franchise is from getting where – it ultimately wants to go?
You know, I think to get to where you ultimately want to get to go is you got to win the division. You have to win your division. You have to host playoff games late in January. Both teams yesterday played those games at home. And I think that has a big factor in getting to where you want to go. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to do everything we can to win the division. And our division's gotten better since I was in Houston. And you watch it; it's changed. So we got our work cut out for us there. But then once we do that, that allows you to host some home playoff games, and then try to go from there.
What do you make of picking over a group that's coming off of back-to-back winning seasons and their first playoff berth in a decade?
It's an amazing opportunity. It's an amazing opportunity that I'm able to stand here before you with a team that's been to the playoffs, but that's not the goal. Every year is different. Every year in this league is different. There's going to be new coaches. There's going to be new players. The schedule changes. You know, the better you are, the harder it gets. So you have to understand that our players have to come back on April 2nd and be ready to work and not worry about, well, we came back from Kansas City. Because ultimately, you have to go on and you have to move on and you have to play the next week until they don't have any more games for you.
You're going to start from zero in terms of building the locker room, or this was a locker room that was unified with Mike. How do you kind of
– Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good locker room. I think everything I've heard about it and the guys that I've talked to today and the guys that I'll continue to talk to tomorrow, I'm going to reach out to every one of our players. I mean, I don't know any different. Having a relationship with your players doesn't mean being best friends with them. It means caring about them, telling them the truth, being honest. So, you know, John's done a great job of having great guys in that locker room. You know, you can't have just a bunch of great guys that can't play, right? We get that, but there's a fine line of bringing guys in that, you know, want to represent the Titans. Amy and her family represent myself and represent John.
You've got to face the Super Bowl champions this next season, one way or the other, whether it's the Patriots or the Eagles. We're hosting both of them in this fall. talk about your look at the schedule, if you've had a chance to look ahead,
yeah,
or how soon can you get this team ready to play?
All I know is that they're all tough, in this league, without a doubt. Records mean nothing. There's things that I've learned in this league. Records mean nothing. This is a progress league. This league is like the Kentucky Derby. Everybody in September thought the Kansas City Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl. They were 6-0. And what happens is you have to continue to improve. Whether you win or you lose, you have to make the corrections. You can't let things slide just because you won the game. And if you can't tolerate it, you know, in losing, you can't tolerate it when you win. So you need to make the corrections, move on, get better, continue to develop players. Guys on your practice squad early in the season are going to be playing games for you in December. That's just how it goes. There's injuries every year. So it's important for me to improve our team each and every week, irregardless of who we're playing.
You talk about the AFC South. How much has your familiarity there helped as you start off?
It may help. I think I'm going to be able to explain to our players, like, this is this guy's skill set. This is what they do. This is how they like to use this player. You know, so that when a guy's matching up against somebody, that he knows what this guy's style of play is, because I've scouted him, I've watched him over the course of a couple years. So, you know, those teams are going to change too, and they may have some carryover, and they may have some things that they do differently, because every year, you know, every head coach is looking at it the same way. How do you get to the champion? How do you win a championship? So you can't just stay at do what you did last year. You're going to get what you got last year.
I mean, I know you got the job. Now you're ready to coach them up. Now you kind of got to be patient with the process. What's that like?
The process of not being able to coach players, it's brutal. It's the worst part of my job. The only reason I'm in this profession after winning, which is obvious, is to develop players. There's nothing greater than watching somebody practice something and try something and be creative and do something different. And then that player finally gets it. I've seen it with my own kids, you know. And there's no other reason that I would coach other than to win, is to watch a player improve, develop, and go out there and have success. And we've done that, and I will continue to do that.
You and John both spent a lot of time in New England, almost the Patriot way, so to speak.
Yeah.
Ingrained in what you do here.
We will take things. That's all. That's how we learned. That's how we shared a bunch of success there. And John and I have a relationship. But he was a scout. I was, you know, he was in personnel. I was a player. So we knew each other. You know, we were friends. We didn't do anything outside of the building together. But there's certainly a relationship there. When you talk about how much of the things we'll take from New England, there will be things that I take from New England, from Pittsburgh, from Ohio State, from Houston. I mean, there'll be things that I take from everywhere. Just you draw on these experiences just like everybody else would in life, whether you were at another paper and you liked what they did or you didn't like. You know, the nice thing is now is there's things that I didn't like that Billy did. I get to change, you know what I mean? I get to change them. So there's things that I like that he did. I get to use them.
What's the biggest adjustment? George said you're a guy who's not afraid to challenge
anyone. Except Eddie, you know.
How important is that in your process of development?
I just felt like, as a player and as a coach, that there's a right way and a wrong way. And a part of a leader is when you see something that's not right, you say something. You know, it's you stand up for what you believe in. And this is a big boy business. And sometimes there's confrontations. They're respectful. But if I figured that I was working and I was going hard, that everybody else should either. Should as well.
What's your approach to the next week in regards to Senior Bowl practices while trying to get a staff together?
Well, up until Saturday, I was coaching in it, so I won't have to coach down there. We'll evaluate some players, and we'll begin to talk about guys that we like and guys that who stand out. It'll be fun or interesting to watch guys that I just coached with for 4 years coaching on the field. That'll be interesting, but you know, we'll go down there for a few days, and then we'll come back here and get back to work.
Personnel.
The role that I'm going to have in personnel is continued conversations with John. And John and I, again, there's no secret, John has the final say over 53. But if we don't agree on 1 through 52, it's not going to matter. Like, maybe we're going to have a conversation on the 53rd guy, and then John gets to pick who he thinks is the 53rd guy. But if we don't agree on 1 through 52, you probably hired the wrong guy.
From your vantage point, how have spread concepts coming into this generation of quarterbacks changing the game? how receptive to that do you need to be on offense?
The NFL has the greatest farm system in the world. We pay our farm system coaches $10 million to develop players. Nick Saban is our farm system. Urban Meyer is our farm system. So those are the types of players that they're developing. Those are the types of players that are playing in high school. That's where the game's at. I mean, Tyler's team didn't have a tight end in the school, let alone one on the roster. And so we're going to find those types of players. But that's where the game's at. You have to try to be creative in what you're doing. You have to cause conflict. That's what these guys are doing. They're taking great athletes, and they're putting them in good positions to succeed. And so we're going to do similar things. But, again, we're never going to put our quarterback in harm's way.
I heard somebody bring up Hugh Freeze as somebody you might look at as a possible offensive coordinator for this job. Would you consider somebody like Hugh Freeze to along those lines?
I think that what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to bring in the best guys, the right guys, and whether that's Hugh Freeze or whether that's anybody else, we're not going to put a timeline on it. I'm going to try to get the best guy in here. And with respect to a lot of those coaches that have current situations, it's not fair for me to mention anybody by name.
As a utility as a player, you caught 10 touchdown passes. How important is that to you?
It was more than that. Unless you're the starting quarterback, you better be able to play more than one position. We only get to bring 46 guys to the game. So if you are only a right guard, it's going to be really hard for you to be one of those 46 guys. And if you were only a tight end, it's going to be really hard for you to, you're going to have to play special teams. You're going to have to be in the kicking game. So the more you can do is going to help us win, and it's going to help you, help us win.
Have you spotted any guys on this defense who potentially could be catching touchdowns?
Well, I think Jarrell might have done it in the past. I think he might have done it. And if he can help us and he wants to go out there and I feel like it's best for the team, that's who's going to be out there. Every decision that we make is going to be with the team's best interest in mind.
There aren't a lot of linebacker head coaches, I don't think. Does that give you a vantage point maybe that's different than some of your colleagues?
I don't think so. This is the most competitive business in the world, right? And so because that I've played linebacker or somebody didn't, whether you played, I never try to use the fact that I played as any type of advantage when reaching a player. I try to sit there and coach him and show him the techniques that's going to help him because I know that it's an honor and it's a privilege to be a part of this league. I know how much when you have success in this league, good things happen. Other teams want to sign you. All of a sudden, you get a big contract. Your family is taken care of for the rest of their lives. All these good things that when you win and teams win championships, it's good for everybody.
Playing experience and I guess the particularly recent playing experience help you gain respect from those guys?
You'd have to ask them. But like I said, I'm going to be able to relate to any one of those players that maybe having a decent day or a bad day or a good day, I can kind of, be able to say, hey, I remember that situation. And just make sure you're careful of this, that it can change in a heartbeat. Or, hey, hang in there. I didn't start a game for 4 years in Pittsburgh. Just keep getting better. Keep grinding. It's, every day prove your worth and prove your value to this team, and good things will happen.
You might realize how quickly this team made Tom Brady, obviously another Super Bowl appearance. How much do you marvel at his longevity?
If that's the last question, I would hate to have that be about Tom Brady. So I'm going to take one more question after this one. Tom is a great friend. He's an amazing competitor. It's been nothing but good to me since I played with him or after I've played with him. What he's been able to do is nothing short of a miracle. He's highly competitive. I will gear our practices similar so that our players are practicing against each other and that are competitive against each other, because some of the most memorable practices I had as a player was going against the guy. Last question.
Were you surprised as to how fast this happened? And John, could you speak to the pace of the search? It seems like maybe this was the guy from the minute you had it open.
Me first.
Right? Sure.
When he came in and we had a chance to sit down and talk about his vision for being the head coach of an NFL team, how he wanted to build the roster, the types of players that he thought could win in this league. It was clear to us that he was the guy for the job. He had a great presence about him in the interview. His football intelligence showed quickly, and at the end of the day, we felt like this is the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
That's two questions.
Yeah. Anybody start about the process of working with Mike on the roster, which you have, and building, is that already started, and how does that go from here?
Yeah, we've already started talking through roster stuff. You know, he obviously has some familiarity. He had a very good understanding of our roster. On the interview process, he was able to talk through the strengths and weaknesses of players on the team, and he just really had a good grasp of what this program was going to be about, and our alignment was apparent early on.
Best to be respectful. Yeah, and I think that's a great question. I think to get away, you have to win. You know, what I mean, you have to be able to win championships before people start giving you ways to do things. So, you know, that'll be our ultimate goal. But you know. Talked about how our players are going to be prepared. You know, they're going to play fast and aggressive, and that's what I believe in. And so until we can win a championship doing that, then there's not going to be this Titan way. They'll be talked about in the building, but people from outside the building, they won't believe in us. They won't have faith in us until you win.